Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Tonight we want to think about God's mercy. Two words found in the Bible that are important for us to have a good definition of. God's grace is God giving us that which we don't deserve. God's mercy is God withholding from us that which we deserve. And I'm sure that those could be fine-tuned a little bit. But it's important for us to think about the mercy of God. As we look at the scriptures, we realize that a very part of the character of God is that he is merciful. Exodus chapter 34. God is declaring himself who he is before Moses. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, upon the third and to the fourth generation. The Lord God, merciful and gracious. You think of God's mercy. Of course, God's mercy is connected seen in the sending of the Lord Jesus Christ. That golden cover of the ark in the Old Testament on which the blood was spilt was a picture of that throne of God in heaven, the very presence of God, where the blood of Jesus Christ would be placed as a token of the payment of his blood being shed as the payment of our sin. That cover of the mercy seat, that cover of the ark was called the mercy seat. The Bible says that that we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, in 1 John 2:2, and he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. That word, propitiation, speaks of the fact that Christ's blood was the payment, was the satisfaction of the righteous penalty of a whole righteous penalty of our sin, the demand of a holy God, the just a payment for man's sin. And the result was that a holy God was propitiated. His wrath was satisfied. And so that table, that top of that ark, which is called the mercy seat, the word is the propitiation seat. It's the place where a merciful God, his wrath was satisfied. And so the sinner in Luke chapter 18, the publican, who would not even lift up his eyes to God because of his sin, because of the sense of his sin, the sense of his sinfulness. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The word merciful is the word, God, be propitious to me. In other words, the propitiation of God, the mercy of God, is God is able to be merciful because of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he paid the payment for our sin, that he voluntarily died on Calvary's cross for our sin. And we experience that mercy of God. And we find that mercy in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's mercy. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not slack concerning his promise of judgment, but is long-suffering to us. He suffers, yeah, because of our sin. His sin is wicked, and our sin is wicked in his sight. It's an abomination before him. And yet, he is merciful to us because of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Apostle Paul talks about how God was merciful to him. Here was the Apostle Paul, one who was killing Christians, who was hailing them, putting them to death, beating them, dragging them to judgment, disturbing the Christian assemblies, seeking to hinder the spread of the Gospels. And he says in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy. For this cause I obtained mercy. God withheld from the Apostle Paul what he deserved. And he obtained mercy. Why? That in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life eternal. Mercy. It's found in life, isn't it? Who here tonight doesn't need God's mercy? Who here tonight has not failed God as a Christian? Who here doesn't need God's mercy? We all need God's mercy. Psalm 51, the psalmist David, as he confesses his sin. Psalm 51 in verse 1 says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. We need God's mercy every day. We need God's mercy every day. God is merciful. Yeah. But every day, we need God's mercy. Psalm 31 and verse 6, the psalmist is talking about his need for God's blessing. Verse 31, he says, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. Thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul and adversaries. Thou hast shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. We need mercy of God continually. The psalmist in Psalm 136, Psalm 108, is talking about the fact of God's mercies every day in our life. Psalm 136, verse number 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the Lord, the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth ever. And throughout this psalm, the psalmist is talking about the great blessings of God in our life. And it's because of God's mercy. You know, as we think of Thanksgiving coming up and we think of things that we ought to be thanking God for, we ought to be thanking God for his mercy. Amen. That God doesn't give us what we deserve. I think of that great verse that God, as a father, pitieth his children, so God pitieth us. Oh, God's great mercy to us. Certainly, we would be consumed if it wasn't for God's mercy. Do you think about God's mercy? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Young person, do you see yourself in the realm of God's mercy? Do you see yourself as one who deserves hell, destruction? Is mercy, God's mercy has saved you? You know, sometimes people give the aura that somehow God did them a favor in saving them. No, we're saved by the mercy of God. We're saved because we recognize that we deserve hell. And that would be rightly and justly given to us. I think it was David Brainerd who was saved. He heard a sermon that was theologically incorrect. It was a Presbyterian sermon on predestination to hell. He heard the sermon and he said, God, if I'm predestined to hell, I deserve it. And at that moment, he was saved. Because he recognized that he was needful of the mercy of God. And the publican, he saw himself as a sinner. And he said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The religious man, he bragged about himself. And God didn't hear his prayer. He prayed to the sky. But the man who saw that he needed God's mercy, he saw himself as a sinner. He saw himself as a rebel against God. And his need of mercy, cried to God, and God saved him at that moment. You know, God's mercy ought to be right at the top of our minds every day. God's mercy. God's mercy. God is merciful. Oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, God, thank you for your mercy in saving me. God, thank you for your mercy every day. Oh, God, thank you for your mercy in forgiving of my sins. Oh, God, thank you for your mercy in all my failures. God, thank you for your mercy. Boy, you know, Thanksgiving, we ought to be able to say, if we can't say anything else, we'll be able to stand up and say, thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his mercy. I don't deserve to be here. If life was up to me, I would destroy my own life. If life was up to me, I'd go my own way. If life was up to me, everything would be a miserable failure. But God is merciful. Thank God that he forgives sin. Thank God that the just man falleth and he getteth up. Thank God that he is merciful. As we think of God's mercy, we find some very simple applications. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful. Of course, it's related to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, if we are living in a sense of God's mercy to us, we will be merciful to others. We will withhold to others what they deserve. Certainly, if God has been merciful to us, what is it that we couldn't forgive others when God has forgiven us of so much more? We see that this is an attitude that needs to permeate our thinking. It's a reality. You know, mercy, that we are under the mercy of God ought to be filling our soul. We are under God's mercy. Notice Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. If there be any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. Now the if there is understood in the sense of yes. In other words, if there is, and there is, in Christ, is there any consolation? Is there any comfort of love? Is there fellowship with the Spirit? Is there bowels and mercy in Christ? Yes. Then he says, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Notice he's saying, if you have all experienced the mercy of God, he said, then you should all be of the same mind, of the same accord, of the same love, because we have experienced, among other things, the mercy of God. And of course, the Lord gave that story. The publican, the Pharisee, was criticizing him for allowing this woman to kiss his feet and anoint him, he gave the story and says, who do you think would love me more? And of course, the answer was the person that I forgave the most. I wonder, do we really think of ourselves as people who've been, have experienced the mercy of God? That we deserve something far more than we even can comprehend. We deserve hell. We deserve judgment. We deserve none of the blessings that we receive in life, do we? And so, going to Romans 12, where we started. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. In other words, the motivating factor, the factor that would be the reason why a person should listen to what the Apostle Paul is teaching, the whole focus of this activity is the mercy of God. I beseech you therefore, brethren, on account of the mercy of God, the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This permeating truth of the mercy of God is the basis for the Apostle Paul to instruct the people of God to present your bodies a living sacrifice. And of course, the picture is the burnt offering in the Old Testament. It was called the whole burnt offering. It was the offering that was brought at the brazen altar. And it was the offering that the whole offering was consumed on the fire. And it was one of the most common offerings in the Old Testament, because it was, in one sense of the word, one of the most appropriate offerings in the Old Testament of how you would worship God. You would worship God with total commitment. you would worship God with your whole being. You know, you think of the picture. Worshiping God with part of our being. Now, does that fit? God? The Supreme, the Sovereign, the Creator, the Eternal One? That we would say, well, you know, God, I keep 90% for myself, and I'll give you a part of my life, but that's all I want to give to you is a part of my life. Does that fit? Does that fit the God of heaven? Here we find that he's saying, you know, if you've experienced the mercy of God, what is the mercy of God? Well, the mercy of God is that we really our sinners. And you know, none of us have sinned because someone made us sin. You know, every one of us have sinned because we decided to sin. And every one of us have sinned, and every one of us have decided to sin, and every one of us have liked our sin. Oh, there's some sins that we don't like. But most of our sins we like. We wouldn't sin if we didn't like them. We wouldn't sin if we didn't want them. We wouldn't do it if we didn't enjoy it. We're sinners. What do we deserve? Judgment. What do we deserve? We deserve to be separated from God. We need God's mercy. You know, too often we don't see ourselves as sinners. But we need to see ourselves as sinners. We need to see ourselves as who we really are. When's the last time that you thought about yourself and ourselves as sinners? That we sin because we want to, we sin because we like it, and we continue to sin because we like our sin. Well, I tell you what, that sounds like somebody really needs mercy, right? That's us. And that's the kind of people that God saved. He saved sinners who deserve hell. Finally came to grips with who we are. And that's why the publican said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He wouldn't even look up to God because he saw himself so lost. You know, people don't see themselves as lost. People don't see themselves as lost. Talk to people about their soul. 90%+ of all people say, yeah, I think I'll make it. And why? Because they think that they're okay. That they do good things. You know, that's how humans think about themselves, isn't it? We're good. We're okay. We make a few mistakes, but, you know, we're okay. But the Apostle Paul said, well, if we have a grip on the reality of the mercy of God, that he saved us from hell, that in our daily lives he is merciful to us. He forgives our sins. And it's not as though we get saved and we sin just once in a while. God's merciful to us. And he says, if this truth grabs a hold of us, he says, I beseech you on the basis of the mercy of God. Let it grip your soul. Let his truth permeate your mind and your being and your life, who we really are, what we've experienced. He says, what else could we do? What else would be reasonable but to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God? Now think about that. You know what is the greatest need of mankind? The message of God's mercy. And who are the ones who are going to are consumed with giving out that message of God's mercy? Those who dedicate themselves to God, their whole life, to serve Him, to spread the gospel, to give out the Word of God. Why? Why would they give out the message of the mercy of God? Why would their life be consumed with that? Why would they give themselves to serve the Lord with their life? Why? Because they're consumed with the truth of God's mercy for them, for themselves. We see a great parallel. We see the parallel of a person who is overwhelmed by the mercy of God, of what they deserve. And we saw that in Apostle Paul, didn't we? He says, if there's anybody that doesn't deserve to be an apostle, it's me. He says, but I am what I am by the grace of God. And he gave himself to the gospel. He gave himself to Christ. Why? Because he was consumed with the mercy of God. Young person, let me ask a question. An adult. What's the opposite of this implication? I think the opposite of this implication, of this truth, is that if we aren't giving ourselves to the Lord, we aren't really convinced of His mercy. If we are withholding our life from the Lord, we're not really convinced of His mercy. I was thinking of Charles Wesley's hymn about mercy. He said, depth of mercy. Can there be mercy still reserved for me? Can my God His wrath forbear? Me, the chief of sinners, spare. I have long withstood His grace, long provoked Him to His face, would not hearken to His calls, grieved Him by a thousand calls. Now incline me to repent. Let me now my sins lament. Now my soul revolt, deplore, weep, believe, and sin no more. There for me my Savior stands, holding forth His wounded hands. God is love, I know, I feel. Jesus weeps and loves for me. Loves me still. Depths of mercy. Can there be mercy still reserved for me? I would say that the mercy of God consumed the soul of John Wesley. The mercy of God consumed the Apostle Paul. And the mercy of God ought to consume our lives. As we are here tonight, ask yourself, how merciful God has been to you. Ask yourself, at whatever state you are in your Christian life, how much God has been merciful to you. Think of our lives, of how much we have failed our Savior. Think of how often we have done our own thing. Think how much that we are a living example of the mercy of God. Think of those who have mocked God, fought God. Maybe you're here tonight and you are rebellious. And we've all been rebellious. Oh, how merciful God is to us. He should have, He could have destroyed us on the spot. And we would have rightly been destroyed. But God is merciful. If we'll let it get a hold of our lives, the Bible says that we will present our lives a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Which is our reasonable service. Amen. Our reasonable service. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are reminded tonight of your wonderful, wonderful, continuous mercy. Lord, for us to be merciful is a response to you. For you, mercy is a part of your being. Lord, we marvel at your mercy for us. As we think of, even as the songwriter said, as a thousand falls, and how you are merciful. And how you delight in your mercy, Lord, in a world in which sinners are constantly trying to prove how good they are, or how we do not really aren't really so bad. Lord, the truth is, we are in great need of thy mercy every day. I pray, Lord, for that lost soul, that they will see themselves as a sinner, deserving of hell, deserving of the lake of fire forever and ever, deserving of your judgment as they have delighted in sinning against you. And Lord, I pray that lost sinners, even tonight, that your Spirit would show them their sin and show them your mercy. And they might turn to you because of the Lord Jesus. Oh, that, Lord, that souls would cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Lord, we realize that we're in a day and that so few people would ever cry out to God in such words, because we live in a day in which, Lord, we have not come to grips with the sinfulness of our sin and the holiness and righteousness of your person. And Lord, I fear that that very thing has gripped us even as Christians. And we live in many times very unaware of your great continuous mercy to us every day. But Lord, as we think of your mercy, and as we think of your desire to be merciful to sinners all over the world, for the word of God to be spread, O Lord, might we be consumed with thy mercy, and might that reason cause us to give ourselves anew and afresh to Jesus Christ. Lord, work in our midst, even tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we give the invitation tonight.